Experiencing God as Your Provider, which is Session 10 and Belong. So your Biblical Financial Stewardship, Tithing, Debt, Prosperity, Poverty, Biblical Blessing and Curses. You should have money, but money should never have you. That's Jesse Duplantis. So Experience God as Your Provider, Finding Financial Stability in Unstable Time is a book by Brian Klutch. Recognize God's provisions, receive God's principles. God first, protection principles, positive principles, eternal principles. These are what we're going to learn. And respond to God's plan. So you got to change your heart, change your giving, change your life, and change your future. So there is a book, I think it's in the book nook. It's a 40-day spiritual journey. I can't read the fine print there, but it's about a generous life. God is the owner of everything.
Yeah, 1 Chronicles 29, 11, and 12. Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. And then Psalms 50, 10 through 12, God says, every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the creatures of the field are mine. The world is mine and all that's in it.
The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Leviticus 25, 23, the land is mine and you are but aliens and my tenants. 1 Chronicles 29, 14 through 16, David's prayer after people gave generously to a building project. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight. As were all our forefathers, our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple of your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. And in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
So if we belong to Christ, it's logical that everything we have truly belongs to Him. When we give to God, we are just taking our hands off of what already belongs to Him. Your job, your unexpected provision, your resources, and your response. But God is the provider of every good thing in your life.
In Psalms 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light. 1:3-4, praise be to God and Father of our God, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every soul in Christ.
Matthew 7:11-12. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? 2 Chronicles 1:11-12. Since you, Solomon, have asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I, the Lord, will also give you wealth, riches, and honor.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 8:18-22, God says, unending riches, honor, justice, and righteousness are mine to distribute. My gifts are better than the purest gold and sterling silver. Those who love and follow me are indeed wealthy. I fill their treasury. Isaiah 26:12. All that we have accomplished, you, O Lord, have done for us.
As thunder follows lightning, giving follows grace. When God's grace touches you, you can't help but respond with generous giving. That's Randy Alcorn. So you give to God what's right, not what's left. Your role is to be the trustee, the manager and steward of 100% of what God entrusts you during your lifetime.
Colossians 3:17-24. Whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. In Romans 14:7-8, none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Matthew 25:19-24. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." 1 Corinthians 4:2, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful."
It has been reported that Martin Luther said, "People go through 3 spiritual conversations, the conversation of their head, their heart, and their pocketbook. Unfortunately, not all at the same time. Have you gone through all 3 conversations yet?" And I was reading this to Daniel, and Daniel goes, yep, more than once. I just laughed at it. So NBC TV reporter asks, "Does God want you rich? After my 40-day spiritual journey to a more generous life book became an unexpected bestseller, I was contacted by NBC to do a TV news story. When the TV reporter interviewed me, she asked, 'So do you think God wants everyone rich?' I said, 'No, I don't believe that.' She was a little surprised by my answer and then asked, 'Well, what do you believe?' I responded, 'I believe that everyone needs to learn to become more generous with whatever God has given them.' She then asked, 'Well, didn't your book Becoming a Bestseller make you rich?' I replied, 'No, it helped me become more generous.' The truth is, every one of us in America is rich when we compare us to the rest of the world. What each of us needs to learn is how to become more generous with whatever God entrusts to us. Practical advice about giving. For people who have questions, doubts, or fears about giving to the Lord's work, if you're not a Christian, don't worry about giving to God. Instead, realize and accept what God wants to give to you: complete forgiveness, a brand new start, the power to be good and to do good for others, help for your problems, the ability to forgive, and a home in heaven. If you recognize your need for these things, pray and invite Jesus Christ to bring these things into your life. So for all Christians, always make it a priority to faithfully support the work of your local church first. Then give special gifts and offerings to other Christian causes, projects, missions, or the needy as God leads you. If you're fearful about giving 10% or more of your income to the Lord, try a 90-day test. In Malachi 3:10, God invites people to test him in the matter of tithing, giving the first 10% of your income to God's work. Therefore, I encourage people to try a 90-day test. Begin giving 10% of your income to the Lord's work and watch and see if God does not begin working in your life in ways you haven't previously experienced. If you regret that decision, or if you feel you never experienced God's divine help in your finances during this time period, then discontinue the test. However, if you experience God's help, joyfully continue giving 10% or more to the Lord's work. If you want to begin to actively give to God first, here are 4 different ideas to choose from. 1, whenever you get any money, set aside 10% or more to give as the Lord directs. 2, whenever you put a deposit in your checkbook, write out the first check to God's work for 10% or more. If you track your finances through a bookkeeping system or computer program, set up a category for church giving and another one for other Christian causes. Then begin to faithfully set aside 10% or more of your income into these accounts. If you like to handle your finances electronically, consider using www.networkforgood.org or the electronic giving option from your church, if available, to faithfully give 10% or more to the Lord. If you're married to a Christian, but the two of you do not agree on how much you should give to the Lord's work, see if your spouse will read through this material, then talk and pray together about a mutual agreeable testing period concerning your giving of 10% or more. If you're married and your spouse is not a Christian, identify any money you have freedom to spend. So you got to read Luke 8:3 and set aside 10% or more of this money to give to the Lord's work. and or show this material to your spouse and see if you can try the 90-day testing period. If you're deciding whether to give off the gross or the net of your income, pray and ask God what He wants you to do. If He prompts you in your heart to give off the gross amount, go ahead and do this, trusting Him with the results. If you don't have a peace about this, begin giving 10% off the net amount for a few months and see what happens. After a few months, if you experience God's creative care in your life, then begin to give 10% or more off of your gross income. If you're wondering about how much to give to your church and how much to give to other places, a good practice I have used is to give 10% of my main source of income to my local church. My main income goes to support the work of my main source of Christian fellowship and teaching. Then I use 10% or more of all other income sources and unexpected blessings to help fund other Christian needs and opportunities that God brings into my life. If you have children at home, help your children to set up a place where they can set aside God's portion, any money they receive, like allowances or work projects, gifts of money, etc. Have them give at church, to missions, and or to help people in need. If you knowingly or accidentally have fallen behind in your giving to God's work, you will never regret the decision to get right in this area. Review your financial records from the past several months and pray about making up the amount you have fallen behind. An elderly lady in her 90s I heard about sent a tithe check to the church office with the note, "I want to be prayed up, paid up, and ready to go." That blesses my heart. And count your blessings. A pathway to more joyful and generous giving and living. A number of years ago, I discovered a wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of each week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. At first, I didn't understand how the verse could apply to my life. But my wife and I began a Sunday evening practice of looking back and writing down how God provided for us in the previous 7 days. Each week, we discovered there were many ways that God provided for us outside of our normal income. We began giving 10% of our main income to our local church and then started a blessings fund that represented 10% or more of the majority of blessings God brought into our life week by week. At the end of the first year, even though my main income only brought in $15,000, I discovered we had given $1,500 to our local church, an additional $2,500 out of our blessings fund to other Christian causes. This meant that God had blessed us with $25,000 of blessings during the past year that was over and above our $15,000 salary. That's pretty amazing when you put numbers to it. Mm-hmm. And Daniel and I are starting this because we look back since we've gotten Tanner, and every time that child has had a need or we've had a need, God has met it. And it has been amazing, amazing. Whether it was through money or through someone gave him, you know, what he needed at that time or whatever it was, he met it every time, every time. We did this for several more years and discovered that each year God doubled and tripled what we were able and willing to give the Lord's work because we counted our blessings. Here are the lessons we learned and practiced that helped us live a more joyful and generous life. So number one, you plan a time each week where you will begin to write down God's provisions from the previous week in a blessings notebook. Number two, you meet together, think back over the following areas, and write down anything that comes to your remembrance. Your main income. If you were paid during the week, write down that amount. For us, we gave 10% of this amount to our local church. Additional income or unexpected cash. Write down any cash gifts, overtime pay, bonuses, second salary, moonlighting, investment returns, sale of any possessions, refunds, or inheritances, or anything of that nature. People's hospitality, like meals and lodging or entertainment that others gave you or paid the cost. Special help or assistance, help with a car or house, equipment repairs, free babysitting, discount or sale items, any money saved on discounted clothing or household items, garage sale or thrift shop savings, discounts on recreational activities. Also, there's purchase of new possessions. When my wife and I were buying a major item or a luxury item, we sometimes included the cost of these items in our blessings fund in order to give an additional 10% or more to the Lord's work. So you, thirdly, you write down the financial value of each item or write down the amount you would have been willing to spend for the item. For example, a family member gave me a $1,000 radio arm saw. I would have never been able to or willing to afford a $1,000 tool like this, but I might have been willing to spend $200 on a used radio arm saw at a garage sale. So in this example, I put down the value of the blessing at $200, not $1,000. Therefore, I ended up giving an extra $20 to the Lord's work, not an extra $100. So you add, number four, you add up the value of the total number of blessing items for the week and take 10% or more of the total and decide where to give it or set aside the week's amount in your notebook and put the money in a special place or account and consider this your blessings fund. Number five, faithfully give your church 10% or more of your main income. Then begin to joyfully and generously use your blessings fund to help support missions, missionaries, special projects and needs, building programs, the needy, Christian workers and organizations. So this is a 4-week challenge. I am confident that the Lord has been blessing most people's lives week by week, but most people don't see the blessings because they don't take time to look back over the last 7 days to see what God has done to provide for them. Because of this, I challenge you to try this for at least 4 weeks to see what God is doing for you. I believe it will truly lead you to a more joyful and generous life. So, 10 biblical reasons to give 10% or more of your income to the Lord's work. As materialism and consumerism have continually infiltrated our lives in recent decades, many people have drifted from any biblical moorings concerning their Christian giving. Here are 10 biblical-based reasons to make giving 10% or more of your income your highest financial priority in life. Number one, it is a proven pattern of giving done by Christian followers for many generations. In 1899, a bibliography was compiled of books related to systematic Christian giving. There were over 500 books listed in this bibliography from over 100 years ago, and yet many Christians today do not understand the importance of faithful giving. So the scriptures there are Genesis, Leviticus, Proverbs, Malachi, and Matthew. I just prompt you to read through those on your own. It will help. Number two, it will help you reverence God more in your life. If you showed me your checkbook records, I would be able to quickly tell you who or what you feel is important. By giving the best of what you have been given to God, you are expressing your allegiance to Him, and you will grow in your respect for the Lord and His working in your life. And there's scriptures there also. Number three, it will bring God's wisdom and order to your finances. If I get dressed in the morning and get the first button out of place on my shirt, all the rest of the buttons will be messed up. When it comes to finances, the first button to get in place is your giving. When you get this area in order, everything else follows. Giving it also the only known antidote for affluenza, the desire for more things that permeates our world today. So number four, it will serve as a practical reminder that God is the owner of everything in your life. By faithfully giving the Lord 10% or more of all you ever receive, you are actually acknowledging His ownership in your life. As someone once told me, God owns it all and God loans it all. We are not owners, only temporary possessors and managers of what God entrusts us during our life. And He expects us to grow it and not hide it. It will allow you to experience God's creative provisions. One of the most amazing things about learning to faithfully give to the Lord is the joy so many people have experienced in receiving unexpected blessings in their lives. When you acknowledge God's ownership through your generous giving, you begin to experience His creative provisions in amazing ways. That is an amazing thing to go through, seeing how He just hands you something right when you need it. It will encourage your spiritual growth and trust in God. There will be times when you will decide to be a faithful giver of what is in your hand, even when you have no idea how you will make it through the coming day, week, or month. But by going ahead and giving to God, your trust in the Lord will grow, and you will grow in your ability to see Him provide. It will ensure you a treasure in heaven. Jesus encourages you to store up treasure in heaven. The only way to do this is to live generously now. Someone once said, "We can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead." Michael, would you read number 8?
Yeah. It will strengthen the work of your local church. Many churches struggle for lack of finances. However, when people in a congregation give a vision for being faithful givers to God at their local church, the whole spirit of the church begins to change. Needs are met, people are cared for, more outreach begins to take place, and long-awaited improvements start to happen. God-given momentum builds as people honor the Lord through their giving at church.
Brandon, will you read 9?
It will help provide the means to keep your pastors and your missionaries in full-time Christian services. It has always been God's plan that His servants are taken care of by His people. Across America and the world, many pastors and missionaries are struggling financially or even leaving ministry because of a lack of adequate finances. Your faithful giving can make sure this doesn't happen among the pastors or missionaries you know.
Kristen, would you attend?
It will help accomplish needed building projects and renovations. Some of the most exciting times in the life of a church or ministry occur when facilities are being improved or expanded. But for building projects to succeed, large extraordinary gifts are needed. Building projects only happen well with special gifts that are above and beyond people's normal giving.
There are dangerous consequences if you live for pleasure. Lena, will you read the first two?
Yeah. Proverbs 21:17. He who loves pleasure will become poor. Galatians 6:7. If a man sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death.
Can I read the next two, please?
9. Myself nothing, my eyes desire. I refuse my heart no pleasure. Yet when all that my hands have done and what I had
toiled
to achieve, everything was needed. 7. For a fool thinks only of having a good time.
2 Timothy 3:1-5. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying His power. 1 Timothy 5:6. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives.
Proverbs 23:20-21. Don't carouse with drunkards and gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty. And remember that too much sleep clothes a man with rags. Luke 15:13. The younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living.
Your use of money shows what you think of God. You cannot serve God in money, but you must learn to serve God with money.
Luke 16:11-13. Jesus said, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And then Proverbs 10:16, a good man's earning advance the cause of righteousness. The evil man squanders his own sin.
Matthew 6:19-21, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven,
where moth and rust do not destroy,
and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver.
Proverbs 17:15, of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to give. 1 Corinthians 4:2 is required in
stewards
that a man be found faithful.
The world asks, what does a person own? God asks, how is the person using what they have been given? A Christian is one who does not have to consult his bank book to see how wealthy he really is.